Well, Mike just told me 5 times that we normally get out of here by 2 o'clock. So I don't know if that was a hint or if not. We're going to see. I'm not going to talk very long this afternoon. I just want to talk and read some verses about humility, because we read this morning how that Moses was the most humble man upon the face of the earth. He was humble. And so we think about humility, we think about things like that. I think of a garden. You know, a garden is a humble place in a way. I think God likes gardens too. He planted a garden eastward Eden for man to go live in. He planted them a place that they had every manner of tree and every manner of vegetable and all this good stuff. And you see the insects and you see the bugs running around. You feel the wind on your face and you can smell the dirt. It's just a wonderful thing. The garden has just an air about it. And I know that I still don't know how to pronounce it for sure. I think it's called humus. It's what they call that dirt. I had to look it up because I didn't know what humus was. I thought humus was some kind of chemical or something like that. But humus is just a soil that's done. It's done. It's not going to compost any farther. It's not going to break down anymore. It's stable. It's really rich. It's just soil. Just plain soil is what it amounts to. And it's essential to grow things. But also, I found that if nothing happens to humus, if humus is left alone, if the conditions are right, humus will stay as it is for centuries. Because it doesn't break down. It has nothing left. It is what it is. It is dirt. It's the Latin word for soil. We teach Latin at school. I have no idea why they teach Latin. I think they teach because we probably have some that's going to become doctors. And so they got to know a little bit of Latin so they can scribble on prescriptions. We'll ask Shelley after church. But I think it's got something to do with writing it so nobody can read it. And so they teach Latin, and humus means, it just means dirt. It just means dirt. Out of it, we get the Latin word for man, which is homo, homo sapien. Homo sapien means wise man. And that's also known as the creature that uses tools. So that's what those words put together mean. They mean man. They mean Hume is the word for earth, and that's where we get human or man. It's kind of interesting. I know you probably don't care about word study. I like words. I like the way things put together. The Bible, we read about the first man, Adam. He was Adam, and of course the Hebrew word for earth is Adama. So I think we know where he got his name. He was made out of the earth, made out of the dust of the ground. We are more a part of the earth than we would like to admit. You know, we get mud on our feet, and always just end the world. You track mud on mama's kitchen floor. She's all put out of shape, but that's what we're made out of, is dirt. We're just dirt. We're just simply dirt. You think about all the problems that people have. You know, Mike likes to watch these renovation shows, and I always get caught up on all of them while I'm down here. Because I don't watch them very much at home, but I like to watch them. They're kind of cool. You know, they're worried about the color of the paneling, so we'll rip out that whole wall because we don't like it. You know, it'd be like just gutting this church because, well, the chandeliers are the wrong color and they're dated. And, you know, like, what? I look at them, like, what are they talking about? I don't even understand. And then you look at people over in Africa and places, and they don't even have anything to eat. So we've really got problems. No, we really don't. We get uppity, though. We get really uppity. we think we're something else and all that. When pride comes, then comes shame. With the humble is wisdom. That's what Solomon said in Proverbs 11. With pride comes shame. I wasn't really paying attention to him because I tend to ignore him every once in a while. I think Fred said something about being sharp when he walked by a window today. Mike was telling us about a fellow that thought he was sharp and good looking guy. He couldn't believe something about his parents. Couldn't believe his parents had something that good looking or something. Gave himself a big old kiss, but they was in Michigan in the winter, and when he kissed the window, he stuck to it. And I thought, well, there you go. That's not very humble. We need to be grounded. We need to be simple. We don't need to be real complex. We don't need to be real proud. We just need to be who we are. Just who we are. Yogi Berra said, it ain't the heat, it's the humility. Not the heat, it's the humility. He had something to say there. Some thought. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, it says, behold, one came and said to them, good master, what can I do? What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that's God. I think immediately he was trying to tell him, look, we got to come down this little bit. We're a little too uppity at the moment. You think you're all that, and you think I'm all that. He said, we need to just get this back down to ground level here. He said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that's God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said to him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Man, you should have shut up right there. Should have got off his horse and just shut up. What lack I yet? What lack I yet? She said, well, if thou be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus, his disciples, verily I say unto you, a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again I say unto you, it's easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard that, they were exceedingly amazed and said, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I've heard people who apparently thought they were wealthy, apparently thought they had some issues with money, talk about this. What can that possibly mean? Camel going through the eye of a needle. And people say, oh, well, that was a gate in Jerusalem. And they had to unload the camels, and the camel had to get down on its knee, and they'll tell all this story about how they go. You know, I really don't think that's what Jesus meant at all. I think he meant the eye of a needle. I really do. It's easier to throw a camel through the eye of a knitting needle than it is for them having a crochet needle. There we go. It's easier to throw a camel through the eye of a crochet needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. The reason is because it takes some changing. It takes humility. It takes getting off the high horse. Because they were amazed. If it had been a gate that camels could get through, they would not have been amazed and said, who then can be saved? But they were. He said, with men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Micah chapter 6 and verse 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Mike, we was talking to God. Do you realize that? When you was praying, we was talking to God on His throne in heaven. And we've done it so much, we don't think about it. But Mike is asking this question. He said, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? How am I really supposed to do that? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings? With calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Really, what? You know, we talked about that a little bit Friday night. What would we do if it weren't for Jesus? What exactly do we think we could do to please God if it were not for the sacrifice of Jesus? Well, he says, he showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? The Lord's voice crieth to the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath pointed it? Hear ye the rod. God hath said, you walk justly. You do what is right. And you walk humbly before me. That's all I require. That's it. Because when it gets down to it, we could give, you know, fatted calves, we could have sacrifices, and we could do all kinds of things. What would it really accomplish? Nothing. And to be humble before God. You know, it's hard to imagine sometimes, hard to realize that no matter our social status, or no matter how old we are, or no matter what position we've come to, or how much wealth we have, or whatever it is we think we are, we are still the children of God, and as such, we're still subject to correction and instruction. Better is a wise child than an old and foolish king. He'll no longer be corrected. Better is a poor, wise child because they're humble. Matthew 18:1, at the same time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, be humble. You want to be the master, be the servant. You want to be somebody, be nobody. Humility is what God's looking for. He made us from dirt. If I had a piece of clay right now and I made something of it and I fixed it up where it was real pretty and I set it right there, would I be impressed with that? It's a piece of clay that I made. Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus set the example. The example was that we should be humble like he was. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering. When you go through a Walmart parking lot, we've all been there. Go through a Walmart parking lot, people are pushing and shoving, people walking out in front of you, people gunning motors, people getting upset, people sliding by on the side, people fighting for parking places. I put to you that what that place needs is a little more meekness, a little more humility, a little more humbleness, and none of that would be happening. No. James 4:5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Do you think he said that for nothing? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. God's will be done on this earth. And if you really and truly want God's will to be done, just stop and wait for God's will. Because it's going to happen. 1 Peter 5 and 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Cast all your care upon Him. Luke chapter 18, verse 10. So two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Oh my goodness. He's quite the man, isn't he? And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Humility is not something you should thank God. I thank you that I'm humble. I don't know about that. No, we should thank Him that we are humble. I thank you, Lord, that I'm humble and I don't pride myself. Just think about that for just a minute. Humility. Humility. Apostle Paul set an example. Now, it's fun for me sometimes to sit and look and think about things that I don't know if anybody else even cares or thinks about it. When Paul was brought, when he came to the church, when Jesus struck him down on the road to Damascus, when Jesus put him into the ministry and he told him, you will learn what great things you must suffer for my name's sake. That was long about A.D. 33, because that was about time Jesus died. It was right after that. So, about A.D. 33, Paul went into ministry. Okay, in A.D. 56, we're talking 23 years later, he told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:9, he said, I am the least of all the apostles. I don't know if that's a true statement, because he was an apostle to the Gentiles. He had more people that he was working with than any of the others. He was writing more of what would become our New Testament. He was doing more work than we can imagine. And he said, I'm the least of all the apostles. Then in A.D. 63, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, he said, I am the least of all the saints. Now he wasn't just the least of the apostles. He was the least of everybody. He said, I ain't nobody. I'm nobody. In 1 Timothy 1:15, we read Friday night. That was written in around AD 64. When he said, I am the chief of sinners. You see what happened to Paul as he was working? He started out, he was humble. He was humble. He said, I'm the least of all the apostles. Then he said, no, I'm the least of all the saints. And he said, no, I'm chief of the sinners. Paul got more humble the farther he went in his journey. And finally in AD 67, he told Timothy, he said, watch in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He done what he could do. And that's the way he ended his life. He said, I've done what I can do. You know, we're all going to come to the end of our life someday. Some of us sooner than others. But the point is, we need to be able to do what Paul did and say, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I'm ready. Are you ready to be offered today? If you're not, then you need to make a change. It's just that simple. If you're not ready to meet God this afternoon, you need to make a change. The church stands ready and able to assist. Well, together we stand and sing a song.